You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the West End Community Church. Well, we have come to the last chapter in Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. It has been a long and arduous journey through this book. I hope that it has been a good one for you, though. I had hoped to be able to cover the entire chapter this morning, but I came to realize that that is maybe a trifle ambitious. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to cover the first four verses, and then next time we get together, we'll cover from verse 5 to the end of the chapter. Why don't we pray before we get started? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would give us a rich and deep understanding of the things that that have yet to happen. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. And we just pray that this morning that truth would resound all around us and in our minds, and that we might be able to take that truth and apply it to living here today in 2020. Thank you, God, that you are so attentive and that you love us and you never wanted us to stay in the dark. And God, we thank you for the information that is held for us and the life-giving truth that the Bible represents. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't we all want to live lives of significance? Don't we want our lives to mean something? When we look back on the way that we have lived our lives, wouldn't it be better to see how we have made a difference some way, somehow? I don't think any one of us wants to be labeled as insignificant. None of us want that. I think that is the fear of the majority of the population of the world that has ever lived. Those in the past, now here in the present, and in the future. We all want to be significant. But the question, I think, is where does our significance lie? Who are we trying to impress? And what are we having to do to become these so-called people of significance? I think maybe Solomon had that same kind of battle going on when he wrote in Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten." Not exactly what you would call an encouraging word. But is this life all that there is? Because there are a great many people in the world that believe that to be the very case, that you were born, that you live, and you die, and then that's it. And Solomon was asking this question, is this all there is? Do we live in vain? And Daniel, as he comes to the close of his book, received this vision of four groups of people whose lives and deaths answer this question with a resounding no. All is not meaningless. All is not vanity. These four groups of people that Daniel sees who live in the future are going to have significant lives. And these significant lives that they live are going to echo through eternity, never to be forgotten by God. I mean, we wake up every morning and hear about a newly famous person. He or she was anonymous the night before, but today this person's face and name are all over our televisions or radio or their trending online. But as many of these people find out to their own cost, fame is fickle and it is fleeting. That is why so many of those people who get a taste of fame, fame as the world sees it, they get this taste of fame and they never want to let it go. And they struggle and they fight to make sure that we somehow remember them. But there will come a time when those who are famous will fade from our minds. A guy by the name of H.L. Mencken summed it up this way: "When I hear a man applauded by the mob, I always feel a pang of pity for him. All he has to do to be hissed is to live long enough. The mob is faithful only in its infidelity. It always stones those it has worshipped." The yearning for fame is a powerful thing. And it goes back to what we were talking about when we talked about living lives of significance. Alexander Hamilton understood this motivation because he said, "The love of fame, the ruling passion of the noblest minds, will prompt a man to plan and undertake extensive and arduous enterprises." Daniel was famous. He was a famous man. I'm not sure that he ever sought to be famous. In fact, I would guess that he didn't. For him, fame wasn't really important. What was important to him was faithfulness. And as he continued to wrestle with what he was getting as an explanation from Gabriel about the future, he must have derived some encouragement from the realization that whether or not the world recognizes what we do, God never forgets the service of his people. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12? And this morning we're going to look at the first four verses. And as you're turning there, let's just set up the scene with a little bit of background, remind ourselves where we are. And following the descriptions of the wars that led up to the climactic battle between Christ and the Antichrist, the Battle of Armageddon, Gabriel assured Daniel that even when hell breaks loose on the earth, God is going to send the Archangel Michael to protect a remnant of the Jewish people. This, what can only be described as a terrible time that is sometime in the future, is the 3.5 years known as the Great Tribulation. And it has been described by commentators in ways like this: horrors that will be unprecedented in the annals of Israel's history or even human history. Just let that statement sink in and think about it a little bit. Think about Israel's history, slavery in Egypt, the conquest of Canaan, the judges and the cycle of sinfulness, and the rise and the fall of the kings and the splitting of the kingdom and the Assyrian conquest of Israel and the Babylonian captivity of Judah. And on and on and on, all the way into the 20th century and the Holocaust and all the horrors that that brought. And this, that Daniel is seeing now, will be worse. It is hard to imagine. The nation of Israel will survive the Great Tribulation, but Gabriel didn't promise that individual Jewish people wouldn't die. They are going to die. Countless people are going to be martyred. Jews and Gentiles, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and tongues, including Jews who have come to faith in Jesus Christ since the beginning of the tribulation. That's what John tells us in Revelation chapter 7. But let's take a look at Daniel chapter 12 and let's read the first three verses at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who is charged of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So Daniel gives us a description here of four groups of people. And I want to go through all four this morning. The first one is this: those who are written in the book. Right at the end of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Now the Bible is filled with references to God's quote-unquote books. We've already studied two types of those books right here in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, it talks about the book of judgment. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, it talks about the book of truth. So what is the book that Gabriel is talking about here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1? That book is most likely the book of life. The book of life that's described in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 15. Those who begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ during the current church age, the age that we are in here, will be rescued from the tribulation, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. Those who come to faith in Jesus after the rapture, Jews and Gentiles alike, will have to endure the tribulation, this terrible time, and many are going to die. But in the end, all who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to have their names written in the book of life, and they will receive the eternal reward of living with Him in perfect peace. Once the tribulation has come to a close, and after the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, what's referred to as the millennial kingdom, once that's complete, Satan is going to be punished. Then there will come a time of great judgment. Sitting on the white throne, Christ is going to open up the book of life, along with the books of judgment that contain every person's deeds. And every person whose name is not found in the book of life will be judged, and they will receive the just rewards of his or her deeds, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And in light of that information, we really have to stop just for a minute and ask, is your name written in the book of life? And if you're not sure, then that is something that you need to find out about. That is something that you need to know. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, man, I would love to help you with that. The first group was those who were written in the book. Here's the second group: those who died during the tribulation. Take a look at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." What will happen to those who die, believers and unbelievers, during those last 7 years, the 7 years of the tribulation? Gabriel told Daniel that those who sleep in the dust will be resurrected. And the idea of resurrection, of the rejoining of spirit with the renewed body, is uniquely biblical and mysterious. The Bible describes four different kinds of resurrections. The resurrection of Jesus was the first. The second resurrection will occur at the rapture, when those believers who die during the church age will come forth from their graves and they're going to join with the believers in the air. The third resurrection is described in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and it deals with those who will be awakened to everlasting life. And this resurrection is going to take place after the tribulation at the second coming of Jesus, when all the Old Testament and tribulation saints will be raised. And the fourth resurrection will be delayed 1,000 years while Jesus reigns as king in the millennial kingdom. But when it happens, it is going to include all unbelievers from the beginning of time. This is the resurrection that includes shame and everlasting contempt. The third group of people are those who have insight. During the Great Tribulation, many are going to worship the Antichrist, and they're going to take his number, according to Revelation chapter 13. But others are going to see through the Antichrist deceptions, and they are going to teach the truth, even though it's going to cost many of them their lives. And these new believers are those to whom God will give insight. Here's what Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." These new believers are the ones that God is going to give insight. He's going to give them an understanding of his word and the context in which they are living. And these wise ones, these ones with insight, will not be forgotten by God. Their reward will be to shine as brightly as the heavens, reflecting God's own glory. That's the third group of people. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 also introduces us to a fourth group of people. They would be the, for lack of a better word, the tribulation evangelists. And these courageous believers are going to risk everything to lead other people to Jesus Christ. And many of them are going to die for their faith as well. But their willingness to die for the truth will inspire some to seek Jesus Christ. And though the world will discard these people, will kill them, will look at on them with hate, God will not ever forget them. To him, they will be like the stars forever and ever. Four groups of people: those who have their names written in the book, those who are going to die during the tribulation, those who have wisdom and insight during the tribulation, and those who become tribulation evangelists, those who lead many to righteousness. All four of these groups are described here in the first three verses of Daniel chapter 12. Now, beginning in chapter 10, Gabriel took Daniel on a trip from 536 BC to the very end of time, describing the future for Daniel and the future for us. It was a future that included the nation of Israel and ultimately the entire world. Now, addressing Daniel personally, Gabriel gives him a set of instructions. Take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Daniel was charged to keep all of the events that had happened in his life and the visions that he had intact in a book, concealed and sealed up. Daniel really couldn't understand all the prophecies that he had been given, but nevertheless, his book would be preserved until, Gabriel said, until the end of time. And Gabriel promised that during the tribulation, there were going to be men and women that were going to rush around to and fro, back and forth, looking for answers to what is happening to the world. And though knowledge will increase, their search for answers will be futile until they discover the Word of God, the book of Daniel, along with the book of Revelation. Those books are going to provide those who come to believe during the tribulation, Jews and Gentiles, with encouragement that the end is near and that Jesus Christ is going to reward them for their faithfulness. So, after having studied Daniel's visions, we can affirm anew God's testimony about himself that he writes in Isaiah chapter 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I mean, we have spent months struggling to comprehend God's thoughts and ways throughout the book of Daniel. And when we acknowledge that his ways and thoughts are higher and more complex than our ways, I think that actually that will lead us to some truths that we can take and apply to our lives here, right now, today. The first truth is this: we honor the famous and soon forget them, but God honors the unknown and never forgets them. That truth goes exactly against what Solomon said in that verse that I quoted at the beginning. Solomon believed in probably one of the lowest points in his life that everything and everyone that had come before, even the dead, were soon to be forgotten. But really, the visions and the story that Daniel has for us here in his book tell us that God never forgets a thing. If you are considered to be one of his, he will never forget you. He will never turn away from you, no matter what. His promises last forever. Here's the second truth. We give earthly rewards, but God gives heavenly rewards. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever won something? Have you ever won an award for something? Think about that award. Think about if it's a trophy or a plaque or if it's a certificate or whatever it is. What did it mean to you at the time that you got it? And now, what does that award mean to you today? And where is it? Now, I am certainly not trying to belittle any kind of awards that you get. I have received some awards in my day that I was extremely proud of and truthfully am still proud of today. But I'm trying to make a point because these awards that I received will one day perish. They will one day burn. It's all going to burn. But there is a reward that we should be working toward that will never pass away. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says this: every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable reward, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We are talking about a reward that will never pass away, the imperishable reward. The things that we get here, yes, they should be lauded and they should be proud of, but they are earthly rewards. The rewards that we get from God are heavenly, are imperishable, will never pass away. We give earthly rewards, but God gives heavenly rewards. Here's the third thing. Our earthly pursuits are temporal, but God's work is eternal. Many of the things that we pursue here on earth, many of the things that make up a part of our everyday are temporal. But the work that we have been called to by Jesus Christ when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, that work is eternal. That is building the kingdom. And it begs a question. The question is, what are you currently doing to engage yourself in that high calling? What are you doing to be engaged in ministry? And it goes back to the thought that we had right at the very start of our service this morning. And it is this: what kind of significance are you aspiring to? Who are you trying to be significant to? Are you trying to be significant to the world, or are you trying to be significant to God? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this: For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That is how God views the things you do to build the kingdom. God is not unjust, and he will not overlook your work and the love that you have shown in his name. We honor the famous and soon forget them, but God honors the unknown and never forgets them. We give earthly rewards, but God gives heavenly rewards. And our earthly pursuits are temporal, but God's work is eternal. A French author by the name of Albert Camus understood the nature of fame. He said this, "At the age of 30, almost from one day to another, I knew fame. And now I know what it amounts to, very little." If we seek the applause of humanity only, it will indeed amount to very little. But if we seek to live sole Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone, then it is the Lord who will applaud. It is the Lord who will take notice. It is the Lord who will never forget to reward us on that glorious day when his fame will fill our eternal home. So let me ask you this morning, whose applause are you seeking? Because the applause of the world is temporary, it is fickle, and it is fleeting. But it is God who never forgets. It is God who gives heavenly rewards. And it is God whose work is eternal. And that is living a life of significance, living a life to the glory of God alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you so much that we can again hear, look into your word. We can use the internet, we can use the computer to record my voice and to put it out to the people that are listening this morning. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have had to look into your word. And Lord, I pray that it would be meaningful, that it would not be temporal, but it would be something that would be used to build your kingdom. Father, we want to, as a church, as individuals, we want to be faithful to you. Help us to have the courage to do that. It is not easy. It is easy to say that sentence. And it is another thing entirely to bring it to completion. It's tough, Father. And so help us. Help us to see what it is that needs to be done. Help us to have the wherewithal to get it accomplished. We know that you will remember. We know that you will give us our heavenly reward. And that's what we want to aspire to. Thank you for this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Take care, everyone, and I hope to see you very, very soon.